This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
This is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to idstronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit idstronghold.com today.
Live.
Hey, it's up to me and you. If it's going to happen, it's going to be a grassroots kind of thing, not top down. It'll be bottom up, but it's going to be up to me and you. We have the government we have because that's what happens in a democracy. We get to choose, and if you don't like what you got, well, you know, here it is. How do you like me now? We've got almost 8 years, as you've heard me say. That's the one thing about experience. It defines preference, and hopefully that's what we have become better at in terms of defining what is going on. In fact, I saw one of the headlines today. They're already counting the days, 365 days before we have a new administration. Some would call it the 2016 farewell tour. It is underway, but we'll have to see what's going to happen. Herb London is with us right now, the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Herb, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
Well, good to have you along with us. Give us some perspective and balance here. The president gave us more of the same in the State of the Union, some would say, and we've got 365 days. What do we have to look forward to?
Well, what you heard in the State of the Union was what I would regard as the state of omission. There were so many things left out, including the fact that at the very time he was giving the address, we had seamen who had hands behind their heads, kneeling on their knees, and apprehended by the Iranian National Guard. So, I think that the president is kind of disconnected, lost touch with what is happening in the world, and we are engaged in a civilizational struggle. In that struggle, the United States has a role to play. But the president believes that less foreign policy is more desirable for America, that our intervention anywhere in the world only leads to negative consequences. But the result of that is that, by and large, the equilibrium that the United States helped to establish in the world is now in disarray. The world is in a very, very chaotic state, and it's very obvious that this will continue into the future until such time as the American public and the American leadership come to the conclusion that we've got to play a more active role.
Well, Herb, you're a policy guy. See, you see this really clear, and it's as if this country and its leadership has lost its way. We're managing by crisis, managing by polling, and we're not even looking at the information that's being given to us and coming up with the right policy that matches up what we're hearing from the constituency.
Well, I think by and large, the American people are frustrated. I understand that frustration. Mm-hmm. That in parts account for the relative popularity of Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side and Donald Trump on the Republican side. Both of them, I think, reflect this kind of general anger, a feeling that Washington cannot produce anything substantive, anything that's satisfactory, anything that's consistent with the conditions of the past. So I think that I understand this kind of frustration. That doesn't mean that these are the best candidates, but it does mean that there's an awful lot of anger out there.
But that frustration, though, Herb, is real, and it's reflecting some of these numbers because the worldview of traditionalists is such that they're ignoring it, and I believe to their own fate, because they're not understanding. I mean, I'm not getting a grip that they understand what is going on. I mean, they see Trump as an anomaly, and they just, they want to ignore what he's doing and make excuses for it, and just underreport
the people's response to this. I think it's a big mistake on their part.
I think it's a mistake on the establishment from both parties. I think it's a demonstration that the parties to some degree are antediluvian. I think they've lost touch with the American people. I think by and large what you have today are parties that are no longer sensitive to the will of the so-called constituencies they represent. So, yeah, I understand the anger. I also understand on the Republican side that Republicans work very hard to get a majority in the House and the Senate and feel as though they've gotten very little for it. You look at the recent budget deal, and people are scratching their heads saying, is this why we got a majority in the Congress? It doesn't make any sense. And so I think that there is an awful lot of frustration because people feel that even when you work very hard to bring about a result that you think is desirable, you don't get the desirable results. And that is understandably leads to frustration.
Well, and here it is, as you mentioned, as the president is giving, you know, a State of the Union speech, we have seamen out there with their hands over their head, and then somehow we thank the Iranians for being nice and turning over our sailors and not creating a big fiasco out of this. Of course, they were happy to take all the technology with them. And, you know, everything else. And it's just like, whoa, I mean, no sooner. And then all this is happening in the hills of, you know, we've got four of our citizens being released that we're going to be facing all kinds of incredible consequences at the hands of the Iranians.
And we just released 100 to maybe $150 billion as a result of the lifting of sanctions. What is that money going to be used for? I mean, you and I can pretty much guess that Hezbollah is certainly going to get a portion of that money, as will other terrorists. The leading state sponsor of terrorism, Iran, now has all this money to supply so many of their allies. So I think what we've made is a world far more hostile than it really has to be. This Iran deal is, in many respects, a terrible joke, a very sick joke, because by and large, what will happen is Iran will possess nuclear weapons. I don't know if it'll happen this year as a result of cheating, or in 8 years, or in 10 years, or in 12 years, but there's a virtual guarantee that Iran will get nuclear weapons. And the irony of all of this is that the president continued to assert, even in the State of the Union address, that we have prevented Iran from having nuclear weapons. Well, that is simply not true. Yeah. That's a lie. And the other overarching consideration here is that when the president received the Nobel Prize, he gave his speech and he said, the first responsibility of this president is to make sure that nuclear proliferation does not occur on my watch. And what we've seen is a world that is now going to go through nuclear proliferation.
Exactly.
Egypt will obtain nuclear weapons as a result of the Iran deal. Saudi Arabia will obtain nuclear weapons as a result of the Iran deal. And so we find ourselves in the position where we make a deal that is designed to produce stability, and it produces instability, the very condition that President Obama said would not occur when he gave the Nobel Address.
Well, Herb, I got to tell you, I just got back from Israel, and when I was there, we had the privilege and honor of meeting with some IDF officials and a major there particularly, who really had his finger on the pulse of what's going on. And, you know, we hear that $150 billion, up as much as $150, is going to be released to the Iranians. But he says what people forget is that's $150 billion right now. This takes off the handcuffs for them, and now they're going to be accumulating billions of dollars every year as a result of this agreement. So it doesn't stop at $150 billion. That's just the answer to get things started, right?
Well, you have already seen in Berlin a commercial opportunity for the Germans to now start engaging in major trade with the Iranians. And so with oil prices very low, obviously the European market is looking for new ways of obtaining oil at a relatively low price. The Iran market becomes very attractive. So, there's no doubt the Israelis are absolutely correct. We're not talking about $150 billion. We're talking about billions of dollars on top of that each year as a result of trade negotiations and the lifting of these embargoes.
Well, and we hadn't even talked much on the Middle Eastern refugees and the impact that that's going to have, not only in nations, but conceivably here in the United States, when you have a president that says, hey, not to worry, they're going to be fully vetted. But meanwhile, our intelligence community says, there's no way, it's impossible, right?
Well, the FBI is already saying we probably have 900 sleepers associated with ISIS in the United States at the moment. The 900 sleepers probably accounts for not simply cells, but maybe 5,000 to 6,000 people. That's a formidable army. And we've already seen that the war is on our shores. It's not far away in the Middle East, in Syria or Iraq. It's in Chattanooga.
Well, Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Herb, thank you for being with us.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or call 800-544-3533.
Perhaps we can arrange a meeting.
Your opinion really does matter.
A new age has begun.
Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. We come at you every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 11 Eastern. And that is the website that you need to know for more information. If you want to drop me an email, we love hearing from you, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Well, college admission officers agree that high school students should take challenging courses available to them, such as what you would call as AP classes, advanced placement classes. Not only does research show that challenging coursework like AP is essential to preparing students to do well in college, but students who succeed in AP have the potential to save time and money through credit-granting policies at more than 3,900 colleges and universities in the United States. That's nearly $1,779 at a public four-year college and over $6,000 at a private institution, and potential savings for a typical student who scores a 3 or higher on 2 AP exams. Okay, are you starting to add the money and see how this makes sense? Well, this month, students are going to be receiving their personalized PSAT and NMSQT score reports, which also identify the AP courses in which individual students are likely to do well. Now, as high school sophomores and juniors start selecting classes for the next school year, Wendell Hall, who is the College Board Senior Director of Policy Advocacy, he's back with us. And to explain what this is all about, why the value of taking college-level courses in high school, and to inform families how they can determine if AP is right for their students and how to sign up for AP classes. I guess Wendell has been delayed here just a little bit, but hey, you know, that's just the way it happens. You know, I'm here in Newark, New Jersey today. There's still a little bit of snow on the ground. It's cooled off a little bit, and you know, I got to tell you, you know, as we were talking about earlier, when I was in Israel, it was, you know, the weather for the most part in probably about 4 or 5 of the days was very summer-like. It was uncharacteristic. Everybody kept saying, this is not the way Israel normally is. But we got a taste of it on the bookends. You know, when we first got there, it was cold and blustery. By the time we left, the wind was whipping up pretty good. The temperatures were dropping down to their normal winter levels. And so we were, you know, I guess in that sense, as far as the weather is concerned, happy to get out. But I'll tell you, just an incredible journey. Lots of memories there with, as I said, I was able to share some time and a relationship with 33 pastors. And we just had a time of our life being there in that historic part of the world, you know, Jerusalem and Israel, and just absolutely, absolutely incredible. And as you heard me say in the earlier interview, in talking with Herb London about a meeting with the IDF, I will share with you at one point, is that we went to the Golan Heights, and we were atop what had been previously a Syrian headquarter building. As we go walking through there, I mean, you could tell it had been shelled. It was pretty well fired upon, you know, and I felt like I was walking through some World War II artifact, you know, something in Belgium or something. It was just incredible. But we go to the rooftop, and we're with this major from the IDF who's breaking it down for us. And he says, well, let me show you. Over here to the left, you got Hezbollah, you know, camped out over there keeping an eye on us. And I'm like, how far away are we talking about here? I mean, well, probably less than a mile away. Of course, everything there, they give you in kilometers, but it breaks down. It's about less than a mile. He goes, next to Hezbollah, you got Hamas. Next to Hamas, you got ISIS. Next to them, you have a splinter group from Al-Qaeda. And they're just keeping an eye on, you know, on what's going on here. And I go, we're on top of this building for why? You know, and thinking, you know, are we putting ourselves in a bit of a precarious, you know, position? But rather comfortable, he felt, because the IDF had eyes all over them. And that was the other group that was out there. It was the IDF keeping an eye. But it was quite the opportunity. And we did have a chance to go and tour an IDF base. These young kids, incredible. There's a lot to be said about conscription. Are we okay here?
I know that you said that the attitude of the Israelis was something that really stood out to you. Was there any other thing that really stood out a ton to you as far as your trip goes?
Well, when I say, you know, and I just started to talk about these young kids, that I was surprised how many kids, you know, were, you know, had just moved to Israel. I mean, and they're Jewish, obviously, and they have a Jewish tradition. And they had come and they joined the service. That was really surprising to me, how many kids that had come from America and they just felt this connection with the homeland, and they want to come and defend it. And if you're a girl, as a rule, you spend 2 years in military service, and then you've got reserve duty. because the way they operate, and by the way, let me finish the other idea as far as boys are concerned. As a rule, they start out there, they have a 3-year commitment. Sometimes it can go longer on either side with the girls and boys, depending on the training. So if you're a, you know, you become a fighter pilot, if you're fortunate enough, then you're going to be there a little bit longer in active duty. But your reserve duty can go anywhere to your 45 or 50 because what their trajectory is, the calculus is that the active duty will protect the country for about 72 hours. So the reserves have roughly 72 hours to, you know, to get their acts together and get on board. Well, we do have Wendell Hall with us. Wendell, the Senior Director of Policy Advocacy at the College Board. And as we were saying earlier, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for high school students to sign up for classes for the next school year with so many choices. What makes AP courses so valuable? Wendell, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's break this down. I gave a big rundown on the importance of why AP classes are so significant and the kind of savings that it can equate to. So let's explain why students should and their families consider AP coursework.
Great. First, just to let folks know, AP stands for Advanced Placement. And these are courses where students get to take college courses, college-level courses, while still in high school. The benefits of taking AP are real. Potential to save time and money once you get to college, much more likely to go and to complete college. And then also, Bill, there are many skills that are learned in these types of courses that we use mm-hmm. every day in our lives. Critical thinking, communication, and time management infused differently in advanced placement types of courses. So the benefits are real to students and families.
Well, mom and dads out there, you know, can wonder and say, well, I'm not sure that my son or daughter is ready for an AP course. How can they determine if their child is ready for an AP course?
That's the exact conversation that families should be having with their child. Most students recently took a PSAT in the fall, and now they can log into the College Board's into their account and actually look at their score report from that assessment. What we've done, we've tried to make it as easy as possible to for families to see, you know, here's how my child's done and whether or not they're on track. If they're doing well in, for example, if they're doing well in math, and under math, there are algebraic concepts. That score report may tell them, you know what, you're ready for AP physics. So we can help give some insight and some information. But also, as you're having these conversations with your child, also engage the high school counselor to figure out which courses are offered at the school. Counselors should be a part of that important conversation. And I'll give you a quick website where parents and students can all go to figure out about the 30-plus AP courses that we do offer. And that website is exploreap.org, exploreap.org.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wendell, you know, the last time we talked, you were encouraging high school students to get involved with AP courses that would be college-level courses in high school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are courses. The great thing about AP courses is that they're actually developed, the frameworks are developed by both high school faculty and college faculty. So everyone's bought in from the beginning. If a student has an opportunity to either earn credit before they get to college or placement before they get to college, that means when they get there, they can skip some of the introductory courses and go straight into the deeper level learning. Kids who are really motivated and want to challenge themselves, and that's going to prepare them for college, but also for their career and for graduate school.
Exactly. We got about 20 seconds left here, Wendell. What are some new AP courses available this coming year, for example?
AP Computer Science Principles, exciting, engaging. It's the future. Coding apps. Make sure you ask your counselor about this. ExploreAP.org. Learn more about AP Computer Science Principles.
Well, Wendell Hall, Dr. Wendell Hall, Senior Director for Policy Advocacy at the College Board, where he works to develop and advocate for policy positions that deliver opportunity to students. He's on our side, and he's a good guy. Dr. Wendell Hall, thank you so much for being with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. It's 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens,
at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of...
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, and Patrick Dunleavy is with us, the former Deputy Inspector General for the DOC's Criminal Intelligence Division at the Office of the Inspector General for the New York State Department of Correctional Services. Patrick, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you here to give us some understanding. As I was, you know, we were talking, and I've been talking, you know, with Scott and Shane today about some of the experiences that, you know, I had in Israel, which was the first time I visited there. But the thing that was incredible to me, which ties into your book a little bit, you know, The Fertile Soil of Jihad Terrorism and the Prison Connection, was also the indoctrination. My eyes were opened up to the indoctrination that was taking place in the schools of these young Arab children and Palestinian. I mean, they're being taught that it's almost like Nazi Germany all over again. The dehumanization of the Jewish people as a race, and you know, that begins to establish that scenario that you know, they're not worthy and they need to be exterminated.
Yeah, in fact, as it ties in with prison radicalization, one of the main characters that I wrote about was an individual by the name of Abdel Sabin, who was born in a refugee camp in Jordan, but was from Ramallah. He you know, snuck into the United States in the early 90s and was subsequently arrested for committing armed robberies, was in the prison system for almost 13 years. The prison officials never knew that he had ties to Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And he spread that doctrine, the same doctrine that children are raised with over in the West Bank, through the prison system.
I mean, you know, when you have all that time and you're disconnected from your family, you're establishing new relationships. This is what some of the current criminal justice research is demonstrating that there is a lot lost in translation when you take a person out of their home life and their direct familial relationships and you put them in this kind of environment. And when you have a bad seed like your main character here that you're talking about, it spreads like cancer, doesn't it?
Oh, it does indeed. And one of the things that happens, first of all, is when an individual like that goes into a prison system, the first thing he learns about is that the prison system itself has an underbelly, a communication system that is unique among a lot of things in society. Inmates are able to communicate with each other from cell to cell, prison to prison, even state to state. So when a terrorist gets into prison, it's not like he has to invent his own communication system. It's like a USB port. He just has to plug into the existing system that has either illegal kited leathers or telephone usage or visitors that spread messages. It is a unique environment.
Well, I think people will be really surprised. You know, they hear reports that we have open investigations every State of the Union. The FBI is, I think, pursuing over 1,000 investigations of potential terrorist activity. But when you talk about the prisons being a hotbed of terrorist activity, for example, the New York prisons and Islam, you know, just how pervasive is this religion and how pervasive is it in today's New York prisons, for example?
In itself, Islam is one of the fastest growing in the correctional systems. The roots of it in the particular ideology, which is more of a Salafist Wahhabi, goes all the way back to the early 80s after the Attica riot, when they were looking to try to find Islamic clergy. They began hiring individuals that had never been vetted or investigated, and the Saudi Arabian government, through different organizations, one of them being the Graduate Institute of Islamic Studies in Virginia, began to put into play both literature and funding for clergy to be hired. And so it went all the way back, starting with this theology in Islam that was rooted and grounded in what we now see today.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your book, The Fertile Soil of Jihad, Terrorism's Prison Connection, what you're saying is the system is already set. I mean, it's got its nine-dot paradigm that it has been operating on for a number of years. This isn't something that needs to be reinvented. The wheel is already in operation. They just plug in and ready go, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people, particularly nowadays, when we're talking about groups like ISIS and some of the things that are going on in Syria, you know, we forget that this war on terrorism goes back over 20-something years to the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993 in New York City.
Exactly.
Now, very few people know that one of the co-conspirators in that was an actual inmate in Attica State Prison. El Sayed Nosair was an inmate in Attica State Prison at the time and was able to use the chaplain's office as well as a couple of other inmates who helped him bypass the phone system to be in touch with the blind Sheikh Abdel Rahman and several others in the greater New York area, and that's how they conspired to blow up the World Trade Center in 93.
You know, much more pervasive than we realize. We're just so naive, and also we're very naive in terms of what their ultimate goal is here, Patrick. I mean, how do you get people to understand that their ultimate goal is world domination? And they've said as much, but for some reason, the West just does not want to understand and hear them.
Yeah, that's true. And in particular, when you talk about prison radicalization, a good friend of mine, John Cutter, the former deputy chief of NYPD intelligence, said with regard to inmates who convert to a radical form of Islam, that their goal is beyond the wall. We don't have 500 inmates in the yard of Sing Sing or in San Quentin yelling jihad. They all know that their goal is beyond the wall, and that Islam itself's goal is, you know, Dar es Salaam, the world of Islam.
Exactly.
For world domination.
Now, what about, you know, Muslims who are incarcerated? I mean, it's tough enough being incarcerated. You start looking to see, okay, where can I get a leg up? How do I survive? What kind of advantages do I have? But in your book, you cite that Muslims have a distinct advantage in prison, don't they?
Well, they do. They're one of the most disciplined groups in the prison system, in that they have a network and an organization that helps an individual. First of all, you go into prison, as they say, there's no atheists in foxholes and in prisons. Mm-hmm. And individuals began to look for, you know, a purpose in their life for God. And so there's a group there who is readily available to take them in and disciple them and teach them how to read the Quran and also to speak Arabic. And that's how, again, they glean the individuals that are coming into prison.
Yeah, when their back is up against the wall, there's not a whole lot of alternative here to offer them. Although on the outside, I thought CNN did a great job in presenting, you know, some of the lure of these young men and why they want to convert and be jihadists is that, you know, you got these young men that, you know, they don't have girlfriends, there's no relationship, they don't have money, they don't have a job, and the recruiting tools that they use is, hey, look, we've got a woman for you. So here it is. You got sex, you got money, and you got a job. That can be quite the allurement for, you know, these young Muslims, can it, on the outside?
Well, yeah. And the other thing is that years back, again, after the World Trade Center and 9/11, both the FBI and other intelligence agencies like the CIA did profile checks on individual terrorists who were captured. And look for personality traits that they all had. It was a profiling not based on race or sex or any of those other things, but they found that most of the individuals that converted to a radical form of Islam had animosity towards authority, a propensity for a predisposition for violence, a longing to belong to a group, came from somewhat of an alienated or dysfunctional family background. Mm-hmm. And as you look at those profiles and you look at those characteristics, where are you going to find the greatest population of individuals with those?
Exactly.
Traits?
Patrick, stay right there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Our conversation with Patrick Dunleavy continues. Stay with us, America. It's 19 before the top of the hour.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Make a resolution for the new year and improve your health with exercise, a healthy diet, and plenty of water in 2016. Keeping your body hydrated is essential for your health. While tap water may look and smell clean, it may contain contaminants that are picked up on its journey to your faucet, which could be harmful to your health. Make sure your water is cleaner by using an at-home water filtration system, like Pure's Advanced Water Faucet Filter System, which can greatly improve the quality of your drinking water. Pure's faucet filter systems are certified to remove over 70 contaminants, including 99% of lead, 92% of pesticides, and 96% of mercury. The faucet filters last up to 3 months or 100 gallons of water and reduce 10 times more contaminants than the leading pitcher. Pure's faucet filter systems are easy to install and require no tools and start around $20, making filtering water at your home simple. Improve the quality of your water by filtering with Pure and raise a glass to your health and hydration this new year. For more information, visit Pure.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Imagine how much cooler I'll be in summer.
The cold are both so intense, put them together, it just makes sense. Winter's a good time to stay in and cuddle, but put me in summer and I'll be a happy snowman!
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Finally do what
Frozen. Oh, a little bit of Frozen music. Why not, huh? Somewhere up there across the country, I'm hearing some of these temperatures, man. They're really getting blistery. There's no doubt about it. I should say blustery, I guess the correct word. 14 before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez back with you. Patrick Dunleavy is with us, former Deputy Inspector General for the DOCS Criminal Intelligence Division at the Office of the Inspector General for the New York State Department of Correctional Services. Author of the book, Fertile Soil of Jihad Terrorism's Prison Connection. In 2011, Patrick testified before the House Committee for Homeland Security as an expert witness on the subject of prison radicalization. From 2012 to 2014, he served as a consultant for both the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the FBI in the implementation of the National Data Exchange Program. Hey, Patrick, you know, I guess what we're realizing is we don't know what we don't know, do we?
That is correct, although there is really no excuse for not trying to find out what you should know. One of the things that we're talking about in terms of prison radicalization, we were talking about how inmates can be radicalized through the literature that's in there or through the religious volunteers that come in. Congressman Stephen Fincher from Tennessee has put in a bill that would require extensive background checks for any volunteers coming to federal prisons, as well as a study to be conducted on the radicalization phenomena in prisons. The other aspect that we're talking about is terrorists that are already in prison. What is the effect that they have? One of the most famous ones was an individual by the name of John Walker Lynn. He was otherwise known as the American Taliban. We captured him in Afghanistan in 2002. Well, he was really an enemy combatant. However, he came back to the United States and was able to plea to a sentence that said that he was guilty in supplying services to the Taliban and carrying an explosive device during the commission of a felon. So he goes into the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and he immediately begins to become one of the high-profile Muslim inmates, drawing other Muslim inmates to him. Well, he wants to be with those guys as much as he can. He doesn't want to stay in his cellar. hour of the day. So he files a lawsuit in federal court based on a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and he states that he needs to be out of his cell to pray five times a day because his religion requires him to pray with others five times a day, not just solitary. So the judge, in deciding the case, says that although he was working with the Taliban, had an improvised explosive device, was an enemy combatant, that his prison record paints a different portrait. He had a nonviolent disciplinary history during his incarceration, and his classification, his security classification, was downgraded to low security. He was allowed to engage in contact sports, play cards, watch TVs and movies, including Muslim videos in the Arabic language. When you read the judge's description of this guy, you're saying, well, gee, why is he in prison? But I mean, his use of the federal courts and his use of our law to, and he won the lawsuit, by the way, the federal judge ruled in favor of him that he is now allowed out of his cell as much as he wants so that he can meet with other Muslim inmates and be out and pray or talk to them. And he's not the only terrorist that has filed lawsuits like that. Ramzi Youssef filed a lawsuit to be out of his cell more. Kafan Mohammed, one of the guys convicted in the 1998 bombing of the American embassy in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, has also filed a lawsuit seeking to have his conditions of confinement changed. So one of the dangers I see is if we bring individuals from Guantanamo into the U.S., prison system.
That was going to be my point, Patrick, is that this is the difference of them being at Gitmo and coming and being a part of the federal system here.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you learn, we talked about the system that inmates already have built into doing time, and one of them is to be jail-wise. They know how to use the courts. They know how to be jail-wise, to be exemplary inmates. They know how to file lawsuits. And they will continue to do things like that. And again, how many people remember John Walker Lindau? It's been 13, 14 years since his capture. He's due to be released in 3 years. In 3 years, he will be eligible for release from federal custody.
And how many people has he served to indoctrinate in the process that he's been incarcerated?
Yeah, and he was actually elected the emir of the Muslim congregation in his prison, which is just astounding that the prison system would allow an inmate to become a leader in the Muslim community, particularly an inmate who has, by his own admission, converted to a radical form of Islam that believes in the destruction of Western society.
Are we just so open-minded here, Patrick, that our brains have fallen out?
I think we're ignorant. We think, and inmates have a way of saying that kindness can be weakness. If you're kind in prison, it's seen as a sign of weakness. I think sometimes in our wanting or desire to want to be kind, and it is an awful thing for an individual to have to go to prison, but we have to realize that there are individuals in the prison system who have sworn to die for Allah and to kill as many as they can.
Exactly.
And so security measures cannot be changed because of the fact that they've been a good inmate. We have to remember why they're in prison, whether it's El-Sayed Nasser, Ramzi Youssef, on and on and on.
Yeah, I think we get confused here, confused in projecting, you know, what we believe in our culture. They don't necessarily relate to it, but they're definitely going to take advantage of all that we give them. Whereas, you know, you imagine if we were prisoners in their system, would we have this kind of freedom? Would we be able to talk and be able to exercise any kind of First Amendment right whatsoever?
Well, first of all, I don't think we'd spend a long time in an ISIS prison. We'd probably be there just long enough for them to sharpen the blade and then bring us out and do their form of justice on us. So in that sense, we are way beyond, gladly we're not in an ISIS prison. But the other thing we're talking about is inmates in prison, and a lot of people believe, well, you lock them up and throw away the key. But in reality, everybody eventually gets out of prison. either walking or being carried. Now, when I talk about walking, the Congressional Research Services did a report that an estimated 100 inmates convicted of terrorist-related crimes are scheduled for release in the next 5 years. So we're talking about, again, like a John Walker Lynn, he's going to be out in about 3 years. Others, individuals like Jose Padilla and on and on and on, eventually will get out of prison. We're going to have some sort of post-release correctional intelligence program that looks at the individual beyond just being when he's in the prison, when he gets out. His parole officer, his supervised release has got to be very stringent. Otherwise, we already know
that that's not happening. I mean, we're deluding ourselves to think that that's the case. And basically, what I'm seeing here, Patrick, based on your book and what you're reporting here, is the way they're coming together in sharing ideas and it's almost like they go to prison to gain a master's in terrorism or something.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing because I had a friend who was talking about Israel. I have a friend over there who was in the Israeli Defense Forces, and he said prison is like a university for terrorists. Anyone who goes in comes out upgraded. They go in as a one type of a security threat and come out as a totally different thing. In Israel, it was individuals who went to prison for throwing rocks at Israeli soldiers who went to prison and then came out and were now becoming suicide bombers. So you go from the rock throw to the bomber in the United States the same way. We look at recent cases with an individual like Alton Nolan in Oklahoma, a low-level criminal who's been in and out of the criminal justice system, comes out of Oklahoma Department of Corrections, converted to Islam, gets a job, and has some sort of dispute with his employer and his coworkers, comes back in and beheads one of his employees or one of his coworkers.
Exactly. Well, Patrick, what you laid out here is just an incredible scenario, and especially in light of, the president, he said from day one he wanted to close Gitmo, and then, the question is, okay, what do we do with these prisoners? And, at the time, the attorney general says, well, we'll just bring them to the United States. We'll try them here. I mean, you imagine what kind of impact that would have on our prison systems? I mean, to release, these kind of individuals and terrorists on the prison system, I mean, this would take the prison system in the United States to a whole other level, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would. It would, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I don't know how well thought out this goal of his is, because if you take them into the United States, are you going to put them in a separate prison all by themselves? Well, now you have logistical problems with possibly terrorists trying to break them out of prison. That's one issue. The other is they won't be long in a prison by themselves before they'll file a lawsuit and be put into the general population. And then when they begin to influence other individuals. And again, we're talking about a type of terrorism that has ties overseas.
Patrick Dunleavy has been with us. He's the former Deputy Inspector General for the DOC Criminal Intelligence Division at the Office of the Inspector General for New York State Department of Correctional Services. That is a wrap for us. We'll see you tomorrow on Bill Martinez Live.
Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.